solutions.
Good morning. This is Dawn. There's several people here. Who all's here today?
Good afternoon. This is Thomasina Adams. I'm with Adams Langley Capital Solutions. I'm glad to be on the call.
Hey, Thomasina. How are you? You're in Texas, aren't you, or somewhere?
I'm in Philadelphia. I was in Georgia.
Georgia.
I spoke to you like several years ago. You've given me so much positive advice and on the note business. So when I got the email, I said, "Oh, I got to get on this call." So.
Oh my goodness! Well, wonderful to hear from you. Yeah, you sound like it's been about a couple years since we were emailing or talking or something.
Yes, it's been a couple of years, and you were a tough coach with me years ago, and it was paying off.
Well, great. I'm so glad you're on the call. Are you still doing note business kind of stuff, or what are you doing?
I am. It is because of some of the advice that you had given me and encouragement you had given me years ago. I just stuck to it. I had to make a few changes, but it was that advice and, you know, your website and information that you given us graciously. I just follow that, and I'm still in the business.
Oh, good for you. Well, wonderful. Good. So who else is can we just kind of go around the room, so to speak? Has everyone got a cup of coffee or whatever you're drinking? Even on the East Coast, too early for happy hour, right?
Yeah, hi, Dan. This is Ashwin from California, Bakersfield. I'm just following you.
Oh, Ashwin Patel, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
California.
Yeah, what, now, aren't you, you're getting into notes. Did you ever figure out how to get into notes? Because don't you own some rental property already?
Yes, I do. And then I'm working on another deal. I saw the owner financing. I said, let me find out. I have a 14-unit I'm working on that I may need to talk and learn about a little bit more on owner financing.
Okay. Fabulous. Did you ever talk to that guy, Pete, that I hooked you up with?
I did. I did call and talk to him, but I never did go personally, to see him yet. So I'll make another point to, contact
him. Gotcha. Well, good. Nice to have you on the call. And you know what? I got a really weird random email from you that I think you meant to send to someone else. So I didn't respond because I figured it was to somebody else. So just letting
you know. Oh, really? Sorry about that. I do not. If you let me know, I can, fix that thing. I really do not know. I only have, had conversation about the one we were working on, I think. General.
Okay. Well, great. Just by the way, if you will do me the favor of star sixing yourself, muting out if there's a lot of noise in the background, just so that I'm recording this call. So if there's a lot of noise, please star six, and then when you want to talk, you can star six back in. So that will help everybody be able to hear. So who else is on the line?
Woody, do you want us to hold star six?
Oh, only if it's noisy in the background.
Okay.
How are you, Woody? Good to hear your voice. How's things?
Well, good. I'm working on my first note purchase, so hopefully that's going to happen. I know I did that one go between last year, but I haven't done anything since. So I think I'm ready to jump in and start doing some business.
Oh, that's wonderful. And sometimes it takes a while of circling before you. Before you kind of find your niche and you're ready to go, and then the pieces start coming together. But
got some source for funds, so that's one of the most important things. So.
Oh yeah, exactly. And so I want to come back to people who have things they want to kind of share, talk about, or whatever. But anyone else just want to show up? Because I'm writing down who's on the call, and to make sure that I get back to you if there's any specific questions. Is there anyone else?
This is Zaya Gilana. I just wanted to thank you for the invitation. It's great to be on this call.
Oh, sure. What's your name again?
Zaya, Z-A-Y-A, last name Gilana. I sent you an email.
Zaya. Okay. Wonderful. You've had a lot of challenges in the last year or so, huh?
I'm kind of trying to, if we can get better, but it's great to be on the call. I sent you an email actually a couple of days ago. I don't know. Sorry, there were too many questions. I don't know if you could cover them or somehow.
Yeah, I think what I'm going to do with that, Zion, thank you for emailing me those questions in advance. That's a great thing to do. But what I want to do first is if there's anything specific on the call, and then if nobody has questions and we still have time, because we're going to go till about 10:45 today, then I'm going to pull up your email and we'll go over some of those because you had several. So is that okay then?
Yes, certainly. I appreciate that very much. I'm going to mute myself then if you don't.
Okay, wonderful. And you guys, when you want to talk, all you do is press the *6 and you're back in again. So in and out, in and out. And I'm trying to look. I know I have your email in here somewhere. But anyway, thanks for that. Who else is on? And I know there's some people. Who else is on?
Yes, this is David Antonick. I'm out of Detroit, Michigan.
Okay, welcome. And how do you come to us, or how are you related to
business? We do a lot of business in Detroit with seller financing throughout the Southeast Michigan. We just purchased a couple notes from the bank, so I'm just on the call to sort of get caught up. We've done a couple thousand deals here, but not too many notes.
Couple thousand.
So
that means you're buying the non-performing, and then you're turning around selling on contract.
Well, let me back up. We bought a couple thousand houses, so now we're dipping into the note business, and we provided seller financing in the past, so it's nothing new to us. But it is the note business. In general, in terms of getting them institutionally, is new, but we think we have a good start in that realm. So anything that I can glean from the conversation is a good thing.
Yeah, wonderful. Now, are you representing like a fund or just a couple of private guys? I mean, 2,000 houses is a lot of houses.
I have funds. I have a fund that can fund me, but in general, we're just a couple private companies with, you know, under $5 million. So not big, but not, you know, we can take down. If it's a deal, we'll take it down.
Right. So are you mainly buying in bulk right now when you're buying the properties or not?
Well, that used to be. I used to be able to do that. You can't do that anymore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I do buy the in bulk from the tax sale, but that's a whole other animal. So I'm very interested in seeing what kind of network you have in terms of whether you have buyers that have taken down bulk product that don't want product in my area. Looking to network that way. So.
Mm-hmm.
This is sort of it's a new avenue for us in that we didn't concentrate on notes, but I do see it as a growing part of our business, just because we did pick up an incredible deal right from the bank, and that's not something that's been available in the last few years, obviously.
Right, yeah. You know, the market's changing so fast. So, you know, the more tools you have, obviously you know how to approach the conversation from pretty much every side. So that's really gives you an edge. And I'm building a sort of if you want to email me your contact information for the community members that are part of the Owner Financing Club community, where there's an initial fee and $10 a month kind of thing to be on it. I'm trying to work towards building a database, but if you want to email me, there's a couple guys I might hook you up with. Myself, I don't do bulk non-performing note purchases. I haven't focused on the institutional non-performing paper, which a lot of other people have, and I dare say there's going to be at least one or two people on the call listening right now that are probably more focused on that than I am. Does anyone want to raise their hand? Who's done some non-performing? Anyone on the call? Want to hook up with David?
My name is John from Pennsylvania.
Hi, John.
How are
Pennsylvania.
You?
Pennsylvania. Hi, welcome.
Good. We spoke in the past.
Great.
I'm sure you remember every call, don't you?
Yeah. Are you involved in non-performing?
Yes, I'm buying non-performing seconds.
Okay, great. Fantastic. In bulk or onesie, twosie kind of things? Or?
Well, five or less at a time.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so just kind of for your own account?
They have to be managed somehow.
Yeah. Are you doing all of that yourself?
Yes, at the moment.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's good because just like managing property from afar, you tend to get a lot better results if you're doing it yourself. It's hard to hire someone who would manage as well as you or do loan mod or that kind of stuff. So, I kind of would like to hook some of you up. So if you're not a member of my community, would you just email me? I just see Dave emailed me his contact information. If you want me to email what you're interested in, and I'll spit it out to the rest of the people that email me, whoever's on the call, I'll try to make as many connections as I can for you being on here. Before I kind of move on, hello?
Yeah, this is Woody.
Hey, Woody.
Speaking of non-performing, and I don't know if you want a subject matter to start off with, but I'm looking at a list of about 72 non-performing first.
Mm-hmm.
And I got that from Granite. So, that's one of those people, intermediary, not large people, selling non-performing notes. And I'm trying to narrow down on that, what might be good purchase. And I'm setting some parameters, and I'd be interested to know if I'm crazy in setting my parameters or not, if that's what you want to pursue as a subject matter or whatever. But
let's definitely talk about that. And by the time we get in with the call, okay, so, but just email, would you guys all email me if you want to be hooked up on this? There's a guy, cannot take that phone call right now. See, here, talk about not performing. Here's a guy calling me on my cell phone right now. So sometimes even when you have a performing note, it goes non-performing. He's almost 30 days late. He always promises me he's going to bring his payment. So even when I intend to do performing first position private paper, sometimes they go non-performing anyhow. But there's a guy, a friend of mine named Jeremy Burgess. He used to be a really big guy in Detroit, actually, there, David. Do you know his name, Jeremy Burgess? Or
we're good friends. We're good friends. Yeah.
Okay. Well, actually, he has another friend who's doing a lot of the non-performing paper right now. So they're buying in these multi-million dollar packages, and then they're just as of the last couple of months spinning off. So if you want to talk to him.
Yeah. Yeah, they're getting us a list. Yeah, we just met with them. We're friends from, for years. We did some deals, lots of deals. I used to be Jeremy's buyer's agent, so a lot of history there.
Well, I know there was some messy history, too. I hope everything panned out okay in that regard.
Yeah, he got a little sideways, but that's another subject.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, he is just brand new in it, and I know there's a ton of guys out there. Like, my gosh, there's just so much stuff floating around all the time. I don't know. Did you ever approach Condor or who is it? PPR, Dave Van Horn, and those guys.
I don't have a direct connect with Condor. I've heard of them. I did talk to Eddie Speed, but we never hooked up. So, if anybody can help me, that's certainly what I would have liked to do.
Yeah. So anyway, anyone who's emailing me their address, I'm assuming it's okay to be a little bit on a list where I can blast you guys each other contact information. So if you have anything for each other, that's great. But all I know is even places like FCI Exchange and, sometimes there's stuff on there. Do you go on those note MLS sites?
Yeah, I haven't seen anything good. It's all trash. Personally.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's one guy who I interviewed that's in my community, Ken Bucho. I mean, he actually does find stuff on there, but he's not trying to buy in huge bulk, but he has to go through lots and lots of notes to find, one or two that he's really interested in. So
Don?
Yeah.
You know, I tried to do some research on Condor, and I think they changed the name of that company.
Really?
So,
what?
It's something like quantitative. I've got a note here somewhere, but it's buried.
Quantitative easing, part three?
No. But something to do quantum something. I think that. I mean, I went in under the guise of looking for Condor and then brought him up on the Google, and it went to some other name. So just beware if you're looking for Condor, it may be come up with a different name.
Yeah. And so, and then Woody, I don't know if you want to give your, if you email me your email so I have it, you can hook up. I don't know if you have something that David could or others on the call could possibly use. But John,
sure.
Where are you getting yours from, Pennsylvania?
Sorry?
Where are you getting your notes from?
Some from PPR, some from Granite. And I'm talking small bank right now.
A small bank, is it local to you there?
Yeah, local, yeah.
Did you have a previous relationship?
With the bank?
Uh-huh, like you have a
I know one of the bankers. That's
gotcha.
How I got to go there.
Because it seems like everyone thinks that, I know, I'm going to go make a relationship with my banker. And that tends to be a whole lot tougher.
I don't remember.
Yeah, whoever's got stuff going on in the background, if you can star 6, that would be great. Anyway. But so Granite, PPR, there's a guy that I know, Andy. Does anyone know the name Andy Lyon?
No.
Because you don't. He's out of Florida, originally from Canada. He apparently is getting in the middle of a lot of transactions right now. So he's taking them down for various, you know, the larger funds, but I think he can piecemeal off, pieces of it, whether it's, notes or REO kind of thing. So I don't know. He's not a member of my community, but he's a consulting client of mine because we're doing some trying to put an owner finance deal right now together in Florida for him to use as his primary residence. So that's been interesting. But anyway, if you guys email me, I'll let you give you everything I know. But like, admittedly, it's not my forte of working in that world. My world is owner financing, private, performing first. Generally, I did buy one second because it was an extraordinary situation. And so,
if they go bad, it will be your world.
Yes. I've had two go bad in New Mexico. That's fun to deal with when, anyway. And this guy that was just calling me now saying, I promise I'll get him there today, the check's today. Anyway, stuff like that. But, my whole thing is I never want it's just my niche to be the midwife for when the paper is created. I guess since I'm a nurse, I might as well just be in the labor room when these notes are being born so that, I can buy them or help the people get set up so that they have the best possible chances of having a good investment, having liquidity if they ever need to sell that note. Lots of times buyers come and say, can you help me negotiate an owner finance deal? I've never done it before. I don't know how to protect myself. And so that's kind of the niche that's my specialty, although I have friends. A lot of you probably have a lot of friends in the industry too, but it just seems like it ultimately is kind of a small world. Do you guys find that?
Yes. The default in notes actually is a small world.
Yeah, like you keep running into a lot of the same faces and names. In fact, when I was in Las Vegas last month, it was just a wonderful convergence of some of the people back in the 90s and the early 2000s when I was kicking the tires of the note business and just wanting to figure out how to do it and make the change from my nursing job into that. So I was just delighted to be gathered with a lot of the old-timers that been doing it a long time, still doing it. And it was really fun this time to actually be included in the lineup of speakers. So that was kind of like, wow, I went from outside looking in to like, I might be part of the gang now, I guess. I don't know. I might have grown up.
Hey, John.
Yeah, who's this?
Hey, good morning. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. But this
is this Anita?
Yes, it is.
Hey, how are you?
I just wanted you brought that up. I just wanted to interrupt and say hello for just a second on that note. You're a really good speaker. We enjoyed it. Sure.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Anita. And who else has joined us that wants to just, like, I'm going to write your name down so I remember to come back and ask you.
This is Kim Anderson from Scottsdale.
Hey.
Hi.
Are you the same Kim Anderson that, like, 4 years ago we were sort of talking because we started blogs about the same time?
Exactly.
Hey, how are you?
I'm alive and well.
Oh, well, that's
and then I just got really busy, and so this has always been back burner, but I'm never going to, you know, I still want to use it. My biggest interest is using it as a tool to sell luxury properties, you know, and how to set it up so it can be sold in the future. That's my interest.
Yeah, gotcha. So you're still doing tons of real estate brokering activities in Scottsdale,
that's
right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, one of my consulting clients right now is somebody trying to buy a $1.7 million property in Scottsdale somewhere.
Oh, really? Okay.
I wonder if you know.
Not with
See
me, but...
See what I mean about small world?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. He wants to put $100,000 down on a 1.7 and take subject to a $1.4 million loan that's been loan modded into a 2%. 2%, so he even though it's an expensive property, you know, 2% on $1.4 million is pretty good.
Makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Yeah. Well, great. Thanks for cluing in or checking in. Anybody else? I just
want
to know you're here.
I'm Tanya Screws. Hello, everyone.
Say your name again.
Tanya, T-A-N-Y-A, Screws, S-C-R-E-W-S.
Okay, and what's your...
Interest? Yes, owner financing.
Okay, from which side? Selling, buying? Are you an agent?
Well,
or?
Actually, both. My background history is mortgage finance. Pretty much Michigan and Georgia area, and just pretty much looking for alternative financing for clients. But I'm also looking to owner finance my own personal property.
Okay, great. So we got everyone from – okay, thank you for checking in. Anybody else? And I know the time's going to go really, really quick, so we'll get into some stuff. Anyone else just want to pipe in? I know there's somebody going, oh, I hate talking on these things. I'll just listen. I'm just going to listen. Okay, that's okay. Jump in if you want to, okay? It's not going to bother me. This is very informal. So I want to go back to does anyone have, like, a burning question? Something's right in front of them right now. I know we talked a little bit about non-performing notes and trying to find those. We got David in Detroit and John in Pennsylvania. And Woody, you're chasing some of those now. You got some money, and you're going after some – trying to get some stuff from Granite.
Yes.
Does anybody – yeah. Okay, so well, what else? I mean, one of the things that I thought was interesting, and I guess there's a guy in – and, Kim, I don't know if you know this person, Bob Zachmeyer?
I don't think so.
He's in Arizona, and he and I have chatted. He's been doing a ton of – he's a real estate broker, been doing a ton of REO. And then what he's figured out is that, you know, a lot of the REO product is heading toward the non-performing note. So he's got to make friends with the guys buying non-performing notes now, because he can't just say the bank's not going to have all the inventory. And so he sent two people that were in Las Vegas because he told them to come see me, which I thought was, you know, interesting, even though I'm not doing the non-performing note stuff. But do you see that at all? Have you been doing REOs, and do you see that switch heading into needing to either buy it or hook up with the people who are buying the non-performing note portfolio?
Yeah, definitely. I just never felt like I had a very good connection because, as probably everybody on this call knows, like you alluded to it, it's a small world, and sometimes you start seeing the same stuff, and it's, you know, not direct and, it you know, not reliable. So I, not that I've put a ton of time into pursuing it, but I find it hard. Like, I would have buyers. I mean, I have a lot of buyers who would buy those notes. But I just don't feel like I have found a reliable resource, you know, because it is another layer deep. It sounds great. I just don't feel like I had the resource.
Right. And you know what Gordon Moss, I think most of you that have been in the non-performing world probably at least know that name, but the way he went after it is he, like, you know, flew around several times a year. He just followed every convention, everything. He met the guys, you know, had smoked cigars with them, had drinks with them, did hog hunting and things like that, fishing. But, you know, that's kind of how he made his connections and all of that to figure it out. So it's kind of like, wow, you got to want it really bad, it seems like. I think some of you people probably kind of have a lower hanging fruit with that, but it can be something. Now, with the owner financing, in general, you don't need it to move products for buyers and sellers. Is that true? Only for the high-end property?
Not true. Like, I think we're seeing a lot of what, I'm sorry, I forgot his name, the gentleman from Detroit, you know, you're seeing a lot of investors who have bought, you know, a lot of homes here because everybody's banking that, you know, here in Phoenix Metro, you know, prices are going to go up. But I think the end game for a lot of those investors would be to offer seller financing as an exit strategy. So that would not be in the luxury market. But for me, as a, you know, realtor, of what I would like to pursue is, mm-hmm. with jumbos being a little bit harder to get these days, you know, showing sellers an exit strategy to get the price that they want when financing is problematic for some people. So,
yeah, exactly. And to me, it makes a lot of sense, not only just to get your price and to retain a large chunk of liquidity, but my last gal, Vina Jones Cox, she was my guest on my club call earlier this month, and she's just making killer returns. She's making the kind of returns that most people, you know, bank to their average return. I think of one of the guys that I know, he says, you know, we pretty much, for our entire portfolio for non-performings, we're going after a, what did he say, 27 or 17? Even with the stuff that going totally bad, you know, with some of the stuff is you knock it out of the park. Some of the stuff you just lose on, but you know they're in that 17 to 27, maybe, you know, aiming at 30% returns. Well, she's making 30% and up yields just buying the properties, whether that's REO short sale or directly from the seller, and just selling it on contract or owner finance, you know, one form or another of owner financing. And because she'll like buy a property for $10,000 and sell it for $35,000, you know, she's making 30 to 42% return on performing. And so that's
sure.
Performing. So that those numbers don't really work in Scottsdale probably, or California, or some of the higher priced places, but you know, in some areas, wow, performing paper can work when you're the one originating it. You're not buying it from somebody else. You're the one originating it. So there's so many things that can happen. Does anyone have an example that they want to talk that they did? Now, Tanya, you said that, have you done any owner financing, or just sort of wondering about doing that at some point?
No, I put together a few land contract deals in the past, but not the way, you know, you're structuring it.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, that's getting a lot more fluid. There's certain basics that you can't really get away from, especially if you're going to sell institutionally.
Right.
But I'm seeing deals come together all sorts of ways, and people buying paper that I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole.
Right.
But for their, you know, reasons, everybody's got their own level of comfort, and frankly, some people maybe not understanding the risk on the back end, or maybe
right.
they do.
Right.
There's a lot. How about Thomasina? What have you been doing in the last few years? Do you have anything that you want to share of what you've been doing, or questions on any owner finance stuff?
Yes. Actually, I started out doing the traditional real estate as a real estate agent in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And when market crashed, I transitioned over to doing the note business by just really locating sellers who wanted to sell their notes. Then there was a slow, I don't know, the market just kept changing. It changed there where I was running into problems with the people buying the notes. Their criteria changed.
Right.
Once upon a time, they would buy the seller second, and then that went out the window. They were just looking for first position notes. then that change with the balloon, they would do 2 years, and now they won't touch anything that's not at least a 7-year or 8-year balloon. So I had to sort of reinvent myself, go back and do some strategy. So I just started doing consultants where some of the advice you had given me was, you know, instead of just getting into buying and selling the notes, I started doing consultants where I started helping people structure the notes. My goal right now is to help investors who are acquiring all these properties at these auctions is to help them do owner finance opposed to rent to own.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And my goal and mission right now is the second chance program, home ownership program, where people have a second chance at home ownership because they can't get financing through the banks. Well, I'm not rich. I don't have an inventory of homes, but there are investors out there who do have inventory of homes. And the only thing they want to do is concentrate on buying homes. I want to come in and act as a service, a company that will service of those notes. So I help them structure them, organize the whole thing from start to finish, since I have excellent organizational skills when I was in real estate, set up the closing, the attorneys, the title companies. That's what I want to do is come in and act as a person to service of the notes, or sort of like that's what I'm leaning towards. And then my ultimate goal is to, you know, once I have enough money, is to purchase homes and do the same. Right now, I'm still doing the note business as far as doing the courthouse search online. I do it myself. I master that. I got that down to a science now, where I even, you know, when I do 100 mailings, I only get maybe one or two that come back undeliverable. I've gotten that down to a science. I started that back up, and I've been getting a pretty good response lately.
Yeah,
so,
that's fantastic. And it, that direct mail is a good way to go if you have some money for marketing, and you got to be consistent. Gosh, Jeff Armstrong in Las Vegas gave a really good overview of what it takes to be in the direct marketing business? Do you remember that?
Yes, I do, and I would like to say, you know, I've been doing it probably 6 months, and I've gotten several contracts, and the only reason why a lot of the deals don't go through is due to the borrower's credit, but I've closed three lately, so, yeah, so the
fabulous.
Yeah, so I will say it's a lot of hard work. I mean, unless you have a family and friends that want to pitch in.
Because I actually handwrite all of my envelopes, and I do 100 a week, and I'm consistent. I just started it back up maybe 3 months ago, and I would say out of 3 months, I have a deal right now that I am working on. I did some last year, and I was successful, and I closed on 2 deals last year. Just one direct mail with postcards and letters. That's it. So
yeah,
I
Tomasino, right?
That.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and good. Are you guys finding that you're selling to some of the larger buyers, or are you finding your own private sources?
I go on, you know what, I go through my own private sources and some of the both. I do a combination of both.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what are you finding, Anita, or who are you finding that ends up buying your notes?
I'd say a lot of, a lot of builders from the past, you know, a lot of them that maybe the market crashed and, you know, they weren't able to finish properties or they're just wanting to cash out. And then I have a lot of elderly people that are concerned with, you know, the insurance for medical. And so,
right.
You know, they don't want to hold a note for 30 years. You know, they want to cash out now because of the economy. So
right. And so is it the larger guys, some of the people who were set up in Vegas who are buying these things? Have you been successful getting them to buy, or the credit requirements too tight with them? Because I haven't actually tried to sell to the bigger guys for years because I got so frustrated with the whole thing.
Yes, I will say this, now that you asked that, the two of the largest people that were out in Vegas, I tried for a whole year really to try to close a deal.
Right.
And their guidelines are so they're too tough to be able to do a deal with. So I recently came across someone that is more flexible, you know, with their guidelines, and that's what's really helped me. Because I think they're understanding the market, and I'm like, you know, several of the people that are on here. See, I want to purchase for my own portfolio, and I was going to ask, you know, when do you know that you're comfortable enough to do that? Because I can't, hey, I don't have the kind of money. If it goes into non-performing, I mean, I was a landlord in the past, and let me tell you this. I don't want to be a repeat landlord. In other words, if it's paying the bills, then I can't just, you know, tinkle that money away. I want to know that I have extra money, so if it goes sour, if it becomes a non-performing note, then, you know, I can handle it and I'm okay with it. But, you know, you get two or three of those or four of those, boy, that could, you know, that could do.
Yeah, well, keep in mind you're not buying non-performing, right? They're performing. So statistically, if you're, you know, having your own sense of what your underwriting is like, they're not all going to go bad at the same time, unlikely, unless, you know, I don't know, the fiat currency dissolves or the dollar doesn't become reserve currency of the world anymore overnight or something like that. But so for me, just to answer that quick question, and maybe there's other people that can speak to that as well, but like, how do you know when you're ready, you know, when you know enough to say, hey, I'm going to make the decision about this thing? Well, only you can know that. You know, it's like everybody's called, few are chosen. That's because you choose yourself. And when I get, just like when I quit doing short sales as a real estate agent because I was, if you can please star six yourself, if there's noise in the background, that would be great. Thanks a lot. You know, I finally decided I'm never going to ask a bank to close another deal ever. So I quit working with banks or ever feeling like they could control my life. And so then finally when I was having such a hard time brokering notes to these bigger institutional buyers, I finally said, I've had enough of this. I'm not even going to try. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to take what I know because, like, I feel comfortable with this deal. Just because it didn't go down and they couldn't mark off everything on their sheet doesn't mean it's good. So, like, I'm going to find. And at that time when I started this strategy, I didn't have a ton of money. You know, I'd spent my wad reinventing myself from being a nurse to being the note queen, and that took a lot longer than I expected. It was harder than I expected. And then, so by the time I really hit my stride, I didn't have, you know, tons of money to do it myself. So I found somebody else who says, yeah, I believe in you. I'll put up the money. And so then I just started keeping a little piece of every note that came along. So instead of making a big fee, I just started slowly building my passive income on top of other people's money. They were thrilled. I was thrilled. It changed my life. It changed my life just making that one small change to just thinking I'm getting $100 more passive income this month than I had last month. And next month I'll get another $200 more. And then next month I'll get, you know, $250, you know. So slowly that starts to change your life doing that. And so when you feel like you're ready and you get it, then, and you're never going to be totally ready, you just got to go, I'm going for it. And
well, and some of those, and like you were saying, you know, some of the notes, you know, a lot of these larger institutions, they don't want to invest in just if the balance owing is, I'm just saying, $30,000, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, a lot of times I've looked at the properties. I have, and I've looked at the seasoning, and I've, you know, the payers have never been late, and they're current, and I've gotten the paperwork in on all their payments. You know, anything to do that you would normally ask, to see as far as the documents go, I'm thinking, wow, you know, that's doable. To me, I'm thinking at $20,000, $30,000 at a discount, you know, if you bought a full buyout, I mean, for me, I'm thinking, wow, you know, that's doable if your yield is huge. So, but, you know, they turn it away unless the value sometimes is $65,000 and above. As far,
right,
you know,
right. And by contrast, I love the small notes, and I know a lot of people who really want to get invested in notes that don't have, you know, they're starting with 15 or 25 or 50,000. And so I love doing that. I love maybe taking some money. I'll put 2,000 in. They'll put in 25, and then you know, and then it just really works for everybody. You know, I have to make a disclaimer, talk to your securities attorney if you, you know, before you do anything like this. Anyway, so good things. Okay. How about any other burning questions, Zaya? I know you had emailed me a bunch of questions, and John Taro. Oh, you're the guy. You're my guy from Pennsylvania, aren't you? John Taro. Maybe he already hung up.
Sorry.
I have a burning question. If I can jump in.
Yeah. Who is this?
This is Scott in Simi Valley, California. I wasn't able to talk before as I was actually teaching a class while trying to listen at the same time. But the students have left, so I can finally speak. I sent you a quick email when I heard you talking about the emails. And my question is, I just found you about 2 days ago, and our situation is we're trying to do a 1031 exchange with my mother. And I'm a much smaller, this is one house, one deal thing. So tell me if you're like, oh, there's a different venue to ask this question. But we're doing it where we're going to sell her one of our rental properties, and she's going to purchase it for the 1031 exchange. So we already have some questions about arm length transaction. And then she's not going to qualify for a traditional financing. And the best way we could do this deal is if we did the seller financing to her. But our tax guy, you know, we don't have any real estate agent locally. We're trying to do it without a real estate agent to get the commissions, frankly.
Right.
And then our tax guy, when we start explaining how we want to do the deal, is like, I don't know if that's kosher. And then just trying to do some research on the internet, I came across you, and it sounded like somebody that's got a lot more experience with this and can maybe tell me, like, you guys are doing this all wrong. This is not going to go well.
Yeah.
Or if you're careful, it could go well.
You know, no, I can't speak to the whatever your CPA, your tax situation isn't something that I can, you know, you're going to need to rely on them for that aspect. But when it comes to just being a real estate, you know, real estate and notes stuff in California, it sounds like, in fact, I've been a consultant and helped probably three 1031 things come together with and without the subsequent sale of the note. But as far, you got to, you know, your tax attorney, your CPA, that's got to be the final word on those. I'm not qualified to speak to that in general, but it's becoming more common for people who are trying to do a 1031. They have to do owner financing for one reason or the other, and then, you know, if they can't take the note as boot or whatever, then you know, they sell it and they roll it over into the other property. So if I'm involved in, you know, having that come together, I don't know if that's what you're talking about, but it sounds to me like, you know, if you want to email me privately and just say, you know, I'd look at, you know, I want to hire you as a consultant and help us think through this, at least on these other levels, I'd be happy to do that. It's much cheaper than a real estate commission, because I'm just going to charge you for a flat fee for my time, unless you want, you know, more from me. So that might be a good value for you, and then we can kind of dig in and talk specifics, and then you'll know exactly what to take back to your CPA, or I might suggest that you get a second opinion, and I'll give you a CPA that I recommend you talk to. So
okay. That would be great.
So, yeah.
I emailed that to support at debtqueen.com.
Support at notequeen.com is fine.
Okay.
And then I can send you back my retainer agreement and all of that. But I wanted to get back to so thanks, Scott.
I'm glad that you
found me. Now Zaya, I know that, where is your questions? My goodness, Zaya, did you email me through GOPFS? Are you still there? Yeah, I'm not seeing your email questions. That's funny. I know that you sent me a whole bunch, and I thought I had marked them. Anyway, do you just want to ask me one right now? I mean, we have a few minutes. And we can go a little bit longer if people want to hang around and ask more questions. But what's one of your most important questions, Zaya? Zaya? Okay, anybody else? I mean, who else? I mean, who else wants to talk? Who else has something going on?
Can you hear me?
What?
Yes, who's this?
Hi, this is Zaya. Hi.
Oh, hi, Zaya. So, yeah, I couldn't find the email right off while I'm looking for it, unfortunately, but do you have a question that we can kind of go over?
Yeah, but, I mean, there are quite a few. I can, okay. Like first one, what are the top three prospecting points online and offline and how effective they are?
Okay, offline, did you say?
Yes.
Yeah, well, like you talked, if you were, let's see, Thomasina, and now are you talking about performing discount private paper or non-performing notes?
Well, non-performing.
So non-performing notes, that's going to be a whole different animal. And so offline, I don't know. Like I was telling you, Gordon Moss, when he wanted to nail the note business, he flew around to all the conventions that were happening, and he met the asset managers, and he met the people that were, you know, in the grindstone of doing the business. So otherwise, you know, just like David started out with Antonik from Detroit, everybody's looking at who's got the sources. And what I've noticed as being someone who's online in the business, I get people like emailing me these big tapes and all these things, and I don't know them from Adam, and I don't know if they have direct contact or not. It can be a little bit of a landmine because the daisy chain, do you guys know what I mean by daisy chain, can be pretty frustrating.
Yes.
Like this person is throwing it around to that person, and I detest when I'm like competing with the rest of the online community for this whole thing. I'd rather, you know, pick, you know, make, you got to spend the time to either be face-to-face, you know, at some of these events, these, you can find out, you know, when asset managers and mortgage brokers and those kind of things, and REO agents and things like that, you can find out where they're converging and you can spend the time to go. It's really, I don't know, anyone else have any comments, but go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just saying, I did have a question since you're on that subject. You know, sometimes when someone does, I am in contact with a couple of direct sellers that have sent me performing spreadsheets, like a spreadsheet, mainly out of Florida. And the balances are pretty low. Like I said, they're probably around 55 and under.
Okay,
who's
speaking? Sorry.
I'm sorry, this is Anita. This is Anita again.
Right.
Okay. And so
Anita, just since we're kind of getting at the end, maybe you can give your phone number if you want to for anyone who wants to talk. Anyone else want to give their phone number since we're kind of running out of time? Anyone want to show up as, hey, you know, put me on the list, let me know. I want to talk to anyone interested in non-performings. You want to give your phone number?
I'm not interested in non-performing, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but you know somebody. Like, you could hook somebody up with the people you know.
Yeah.
Because
I
can do the same thing, or I can just have all of you guys email me, and I'll, if you don't mind, I'll just include a mass email of, okay, this person is, you know, knows this or is interested in this, and try to hook you guys up.
That is wonderful. That's a great, great thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but, you know, it's like a real business. This is one of the misconceptions that sometimes people have. Unless you're just like a full-time investor and you're totally a passive investor, you got lots of resources, not that hard to get in starting in the note business or whatever in the cash flow business. But if you're someone who's looking for a career change, the note business is a business, just like if you were starting up to be an insurance guy, a real estate person, a salesman of any kind. It's a real business, and it's not something that you can do really casually. Does anyone have a differing opinion on that?
Dawn, I'd like to piggyback on that. This is Thomasina Adams calling out of Philadelphia. And you are absolutely correct in saying that. And I had to even go back and reevaluate how I was treating the business. And it's tough. It is a real business. I had to sort of look at this in the same capacity that I did when I was selling real estate, the traditional real estate. And when I started doing that and I started getting more serious, I found myself putting in more man-hour times than I did before. It is a real business. You have to get out there and network. That's what I'm finding out to be where I'm getting really good results is the old ways. It still works. Going to the Chamber of Commerce functions, investor functions, going to Philadelphia, meeting with the tax commissioners and people like that, just making contact, the direct marketing, the old stuff, it still works. It still works, but it is work. It is not something you can do lightly or take lightly. It's just really talking to everyone and branding yourself, something you taught me a long time ago. It's just getting out there and reinventing yourself and branding yourself, but it is a lot of work. But the rewards are great. You just have to stick with it. You've got to do the work. It's work. It's work. I know. At one time, I would mail out a few letters here and there. I didn't treat my real estate business that way. I would do 10,000, get out 10,000 postcards a month.
Right.
And I did that on foot. Now I have to say, well, the note business is a little different. So what I do is I just focus on that 100 every week, and I have a system where it takes me like 3 hours to locate 100 notes through courthouse research online. So I got it down to a science now. I know what to look for and what to skip over. So it is. I agree with you 100%. It is a business. It's a real
right.
business.
And you got to really love it. And the other things you can do is start going out to some of the real estate investment clubs. I mean, if you don't want to fly all over the country to these conventions that are held all over the place, start at least going to your local clubs, because that's where you're going to find speakers that come in. You're going to find other people who are doing it, and it's the old thing of connecting. The internet, you know, it's a way of connecting, but it's less personal. And so there's a lot of stuff that happens by referral. And in the early days, I did all that stuff. I trotted around to all these networking meetings. I tried really hard to get CPAs and attorneys, you know, to know who I was and know what I did. And so I still get some referral business out of that. And I've never done a lot of direct mail, just because in my business model, I don't need to, but I spent a lot of time building the whole Note Queen brand, and I've been blogging and videoing and doing those things for a while. So that puts me out there in a way that has things come to me. And so you just have to figure out, do I really love this? And if you don't, just quit right now. You know, do the world a favor and yourself. Do something else. Figure out what you really, really love. And then what part of that do you really love? Like, oh, you know, which part of it do I love? Because there's so many niches. Right. You can buy performing notes. You can buy non-performing notes. You can buy properties with owner financing.
Here I come.
You can sell property with owner financing, or any combination of the two. So, or the four. Or however many combinations there are. So, okay, does anyone have any one other thing? I've got several emails that I can, you know, try to hook you guys up with anything that I can regarding the non-performing conversation. But anything else before we kind of go ahead?
I just had one question that I didn't really get to, and I hope it's okay. I was just going to ask, when someone wants you to sign or fill out a non-disclosure paperwork, if you're not purchasing for your own portfolio and you're assigning the note out, how do you handle that? Because you have to disclose all that information to get quotes.
Oh, so you're worried about revealing your purchasing sources?
Yes, ma'am. In other words, you know, how can you tell the seller, hey, I'm not, you know, because they want, a lot of times they want proof of funds, a lot of times they want, you know, the non-disclosure, especially on a commercial deal, you know, so.
Yeah, well, you might want to have them sign a non-disclosure, too, so they agree not to go after or, you know, make direct contact with your purchasing source. You know, so that you're trying to protect yourself. Personally, I find that rather exhausting, that whole conversation. And if somebody really wants me to sign it, and I think there's a really good reason to, I'll sign it. But guess what? You know, I don't do business with a ton of people. I do business. There's a few people that I do business with, and I trust them, and they trust me. look, if I have to sue you to perform, I'm not interested, and I'm not going to keep track if you're screwing me. All I know is that I'm going to do the right thing, and I hope you're going to do the right thing. And I like, so I frankly just tell people, look, if you really feel like you can't trust me, I suggest you probably do business somewhere else. Now, well, I'm not trying to do tons of business in, you know, these multi-million bulk sales and things like that, like some of people are. But for me, it's on trust. And guess what? You know, it's not a good use of my energy to worry about who's going around me. If I haven't earned it, like, who can I be as a person so that I just don't attract that kind of thing? So, number one, I'm the kind of person who would never do the wrong thing. If I'm working with somebody's client, let's say I bought one note from them, and then down the road I get another, I'm going to cut them in for their cut of it, even though they weren't, like, because sometimes it happens. Somebody will bring me a note, and a guy, Wayne, in my community, he's brought me a note before, and then someone he brought me came to me directly afterwards. And so it didn't end up closing, but if it had, I would have cut him in his share for bringing me the fee. Do you know what I mean? So So for me, I usually don't sign them. I usually don't ask people to sign them. If we don't have that trust, we're going to not be, you know, doing business for long, if at all. So that's just kind of my philosophy. So I don't know, does anyone else want to pipe in with their thoughts on that?
Don, I just wanted to commend you for that, and I'll remember that as a good role model for myself. This is great.
All right.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is John. You're most likely not going to be able to deal with anybody without signing those purposes. There's a lot of private information there, and if you get it without signing that and spread it all over the Internet, you have a problem and they have a problem. So,
right, and
I
is this mainly in the how do you, wait, before we go on, John, so is this, you're talking about doing, is this John?
Yes.
Yeah. So mainly in the non-performing world, and can you give me the context in which you're normally doing that?
In any world, even in the performing world, if you're buying from someone you don't know, they're going to want to, what happens, and the reason for it is, people go out there, the daisy chain that you spoke of, they'll go out there and they'll sign one and get a whole list and then spread it all over the Internet and hope that they can sell something. There's a lot of personal information in those documents, and you would be violating
Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, that's a good point. So you sign them and you feel like they're really helpful in protecting you or the other people.
Sure. You're protecting yourself, the company that's selling it to or you're buying from, and
I understand that. And do you think that for someone who's likely to do something squirrely, do you think signing a piece of paper actually keeps them in line? Do you honestly think that?
Absolutely not.
Right.
The problem
so to
is
me, that
what happens
back.
Is if you do it once, they'll never deal with you again. So if
right.
you do
well,
want to
that,
do this over
yeah.
time, they won't deal with you. And then, it's as you said, it's a small community. The word will get out, and you will be never dealing with anyone in that business.
Right.
So, that's all.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, and I know that that's very valuable insight for a lot of people. But there it is again. It's like, for me, if you screw me once and whatever, but you're not going to do it a second time. You know, you're going to be done. The note business is a small world, like you said, and especially with the Internet, you cannot afford to get even one bad thing said about you.
Exactly.
I mean, if you can help it. You can spend years building a reputation, and it can be crushed by you doing one sleazy thing.
And it doesn't even have to be accurate.
Yeah, they could make it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, anybody else have comments to that regard? Thanks for that, John. It's just not my reality, but I know it's out there. And like I said, I'm not doing big bulk things. I'm not doing non-performings from institutional.
Right.
So yeah. Come in. Someone's doing a little rehab in the back while they're listening.
Not the publisher's clearing house.
Hooray, now we've got money to invest in notes for our own account, right?
Here you are.
Well, this has been really great. I appreciate you guys spending time on the phone, and it's really valuable. I'm sorry it's hard to get to too many things, but I will send out the email and try to give as much value as I can for each of you that were on the call. So thank you. And next month we're going to be doing the same thing. It's usually on a Saturday morning, but I'm going to be up in my cabin and have no cell phone, no internet for the whole weekend. So.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. Well, enjoy yourself. Everybody have a safe week.
Yeah, happy Memorial Day weekend to everyone, and thanks again for your time.
Don, this is Joe Laughlin from Chicago. Did that email address you wanted us to send our info into so you could share it around, was that support@notequeen.com?
Yeah, support@notequeen.com or don@notequeen.com, and then I'll just compile them and hook you guys up together, and if you tell me what you're interested in or what you're doing, then we'll just work it that way.
Okay.
So anyway, hope you enjoyed the virtual coffee. Mine's now cold.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good weekend.
Have a good one. All right.
Thank you, Don. I'm so excited. Let's do it again.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.